start the recording, and this is there's no name for this lesson, but start by sensing your contact, and then we'll do something in standing in a moment. But if you're comfortable with your feet standing on the earth or long, scan from your heels, the space behind your ankles, your calves, space behind your knees. Notice how as you're resting, you start to change your breath, space behind your pelvis, low back, your low ribs. Mid back, that changes with your breath. And it takes quite a long time before we really start settling. So even this initial scan is just a moment in time. And it will completely change. The space behind your neck, the way your shoulders contact the ground, the place where the back of your head rests, and any high points, like anything that just is really evident in your awareness of yourself. And it can be emotional, it can be whatever it is that you just notice, okay, this is here today. And then find a way to roll to your side and come to stand. And you'll find somewhere to stand in the room. I'll just pull this one up. Where you can stand on the hard floor for a moment. And just notice where you put your feet and how you stand. And how you breathe, how your shoulders rest. And begin a very, very small movement, because it's a process of listening for how you bring your weight over. Hello, come on in. No, it's okay. Good. Shifting over to one foot and then shifting weight over to the other foot. And it's really small, you're not doing a big movement, but listening for how you do it, how you breathe, and how you shift your weight right and left. And pay attention to the process. Is it more of a tipping or a bending, more of a side to side feeling? And when you're paying attention, notice, can you still breathe? And so sometimes that means go slower, really slow, so that you can zero in on, where does it start? Do I bend one knee to do this? Do I drop one shoulder? And the moment you start asking questions, it changes, and you can just do that. That's fine. See? And then as you're doing this, what is happening with your head? Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you refine where your feet are, and there's a better place to go. That's okay, too. Yeah, you'll find that if your feet are really far apart at some point, you'll probably just decide to move them somewhere a little closer, but it's fine to work with them wide. It doesn't matter. But notice if your head is sort of going from side to side. anybody feel like their head is not going side to side?
Okay.
It is, just in case you're wondering. So now really bring your head over one foot and then over the other. So this is one way, and you might want to open your eyes at some point because or pause, you know, if you start to feel. So this is one strategy. Okay, right, bringing your head over one foot and over the other. Yeah, okay. That's one strategy. So what would the other strategy possibly be?
My hips.
Okay, yeah, and then doing what with your head? Yeah, so there's bringing your head.
Yeah.
You could counterbalance with your head. That's one way. That's even another way. Yeah, so that's cool. So you could take, if your hips go to the left, you can take your head a little to the right. And interestingly, yeah, that works. That works, right? Okay, try it out. See if it works for you. So you could, if you send your hips to the left, you can take your head to the right to keep your weight on the right. Now, if you did that, would you be able to lift one of your feet or not? So you could try it, but try it in a small way. It's not, you know, you don't have to go all the way over, but see if you, how would you do that? And then how good would your balance be? Just, it's only when we're in class. It's like he never comes by. Okay. Okay, so then, now just bring your head, so take your weight to your right foot or your left foot, but your head goes right over your right and left foot, and then free up your other foot. You could do that pretty easily, right? He doesn't really want to come. It's just, it's a scam. The cat. So if you're listening to this later, that's the cat. And then go the other way. So this works, but do you feel like if I came up to you and I pushed you, what would happen? You'd fall to one side, probably. Okay. So then there's a third option. Does anybody know what it is? Oh, that's interesting. Okay, try another option. Try something else. If you go forward, okay, if you go forward, yeah, it's a little different, actually. That's kind of cool. Okay, now we've explored lots of ways you can move the head, right? So if you take your head back, where does your weight go? Well, you'd have to get your pelvis way forward, otherwise it's, and if you go way forward. Yeah. So you've got this idea, what's happening? You're counterbalancing your head and your pelvis, right? So now leave your head in the middle. And imagine that you have a really big book, but not the Oxford Unabridged, because that's too heavy, but something just enough to give you a sense of where the very, very top of your crown is. And you could even put one hand there if you want. And then see if you can bring your weight into your right foot, but keep your head in the center and lighten your left foot so that you're switching to one side, but keeping your head in the middle. It's very different.
That's what I was doing the first time.
No, it wasn't. Okay. I'll save it. All right. Open your eyes. I'm mirroring. So yeah, you're at partway. Partway yes and partway no. Yeah. So now, look here for a moment. You had, yes, you were and you weren't. So I'm going to take a cord here.
I was, I just wasn't doing it well.
You were doing it beautifully, actually. It's like a little different. So here we have the spine. Okay. So if I, and we've talked about this a little bit, but if I bring my weight, and this is not about right or wrong, this is about having options. If I go to one side and I take my head over, what's happening with the line here?
Going sideways.
Yeah,
tilting.
It's tilting. Okay. So then, if I leave my head in the middle, and then I counterbalance, so that's this one, and I'm still not going to have very good balance, although it's really interesting. It's really, really, really rich. So this is my head going to the right, my hips going to the left, but lightening the foot that's under my head. So it's some work. And then the other option is head in the middle. Hips go, and this is my easy side. And there's, Interesting, I'm thinking really hard right now. Do you see this though?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's curve. So this is more challenging. Yes, yes, we do that. That is another option. So this is what we do in walking without thinking, right? If we keep our heads in the center. So this is, you know, you see a woman with a big bowl of water on her head. She's got this movement happening underneath. Okay, so we're playing with this. And this movement side to side with the hips is called translating. Because your hips are really moving side and side. There's also a little bit of a tilt, so it's not exact, but it's not forward and back. So that's translating. And that's what we're playing with today a little bit. There's some other things too. So rest on your back now, and of course it'll be different, and that's for you, it'll be your first time, and that's fine. So just rest and notice.
Doesn't matter.
Actually, Ingrid, since now we know you had one other person say she might come, then let's just bring you out here.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll have a little bit more space.
Okay.
You're all in here together. It's good. And see what it's like to rest down on the earth. And maybe you have some parts of you that are really awake. And maybe you notice the contact of your heels, back of the calves, somewhere in your upper leg. Contact of your back. And you receive support from the floor. And you also receive support. Okay.
Yeah, I just had a funny itch. Right as you were looking at me.
You also take support from your skeleton, so just as we were in standing. When we're standing, the weight goes through us down into the earth, and then there's a rebound, a response. It's the equal and opposite reaction, something like that. We know we send our weight down, and there's this response that echoes through our system. We know where the ground is. We sort of push off. We push off really actively in walking. We push off quietly and passively in standing. And even when you are shifting your hips, to shift your hips, there's often a little push into one foot, or push somewhere. And here, you get to passively take support from the ground. So you're sending the weight of your bones, the weight of your whole self down into the earth, and there's this answering support. We'll do a lot of our lesson today on hands, actually on elbows and knees, forearms and knees. What is really important is the same things that are always important. If it becomes exhausting, which it can do, especially in the beginning when we're less organized, just take breaks, lots and lots of breaks. Sit up, change position, change where things are. See if you can zero in on a more easy and gentle way. But let's see what it's like to go there right now. If you want some more padding under your knees, I brought these blankets for your knees. So roll to your side and find your way. And you can face any direction in the room. It doesn't matter. So you just choose where you want to be facing. You know, half the time I can trip my eyes closed and half if I'm open. You find your way there. And you may or may not want the padding. I spent quite a bit of time this way earlier. Both are interesting. And your elbows, if it's okay with you. So just see what it's like to come down to your forearms. And you can do this with your hands oriented up, oriented down. Not with your hands together. You can do this with your head hanging, but not with your head on the ground. I know, right?
Something.
Yeah.
Some constraint is coming.
Some constraints are coming. So just see what it's like first and go, okay, well, are my elbows really under my shoulders? You could check that. Are your knees under your hips? And maybe while you're looking at what it's like to be in this position, in a very small way, begin to tuck your tail and round your back just slightly and see how your head responds without making your head respond. And then let your belly go down to the ground, down towards the earth, tailbone arches up, and feel what happens with your head. And really small.
Oh.
It's like you're listening to pick up each vertebra. Oh, is that one moving? I'm not sure, so let me go a little smaller. That's like the way that you go, so that it's really listening. It can be really very easy to go right into a habit with this because it's cat-cow, right? We know we've done it 50 times and in the past week, and so it really, really, really quiet and letting the head respond, not act. And then rest on your back. And there will be quite a bit of this. So you find it's easy and clear a way to go down and up as possible and rest. And notice if there's any part of you that can receive the support of the floor a little bit more easily. Even from this little bit of movement, where you sense the echo in your system. I'm going to turn this light off. Is that okay?
Sure. Yes.
You will not go to sleep in this lesson and find your way onto your forearms and your knees. Well, you might in the pauses sometimes, right? When we're doing Reiki sometimes with people, it's like their conscious mind just gets out of the way and then a whole bunch of stuff happens, and I think it happens in Feldenkrais too. Sometimes our conscious mind just goes, okay, hey, this is too much for me, I'm out of here. You deal with it, I'll be back when you're done.
Yeah.
And then something has changed. So here, find the most comfortable angle to rest your head where you feel it can really, and you may actually even be able to hang your head and not have it touch the ground or not have it touch the ground in a way that constrains your action. And then remembering that you have this connection between your hips and your head that is possible. Find a very small movement of shifting your hips a little to the right in a way that allows you to take your breath in and out, and then you come back to the center. It's very important that you're able to hear what happens in the beginning of the movement and as you go. Not so important that whether it's a large movement. And follow the trails, like this cord of your spine. There's some movement along the way that happens in order for there to be a shift. And there may be something also with your feet, your calves, where some availability is needed. And it can be so small. Once you know what that's like, if you're still all right in this position, shift to the left just a little bit and then find the place where you feel centered. Marking it, it's like here. Here is the center and here is slightly off center. A millimeter, 2 millimeters. If it's really doop, 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 go even slower and make it a little smoother, more easy in your breath. Where else can you soften and create availability through your armpits, your jaw? And that's enough. Let it go and rest on your back. It can be really demanding. You okay in that position?
Yeah,
okay. You okay in that position? Yeah, okay. Michael, you okay? Okay. And it will continue to change. And maybe your hip joint is a little bit more clear for you now than when you began. And you could trace in your imagination. Let's see if you can locate where your tailbone is approximately, and how there's this triangle, your sacrum. The tailbone is at the end of the sacrum, and there's the line of your spine all the way up to the middle of your head. Behind your nose. And then there's many, many ways to do movements from here, but one of the things you're listening for is sort of static. And the static won't necessarily be here while you're resting, but it might be when you're moving. So make your way onto your knees and your forearms and find kind of a gentle way. Maybe you pull your legs up that works too. Maybe you lever yourself up. Maybe you roll. Whatever way that you want to. And then see what it's like. Each time, maybe you learn a little more about, okay, maybe my elbows will be a little bit wider this time. Maybe I'll try this. And come back gently to the rounding and the arching. Very small movement. And we can do this with a lot of force. We could use the muscles of the abdomen and really kind of crunch like a sit-up. But in this practice for today, you're looking for more awareness of your whole torso. The back body, the front, the ribs, the spine, all the way through. Yeah. And the head only responds without doing a lot of extra. Sometimes, you know, we lead with the head. In fact, you can do that. Our necks do a lot of work, so you could make the neck pretty big. That will feel pretty familiar for us. Or you can keep it very small. Okay. And then, find your neutral place and experiment with emptying the weight, so lightening the right knee just enough that you can shift it a little bit to the right. So you shift it outside and then put weight on it. So yeah, that's right. So think about it first. You don't have to do it right away. There's a way that you can, just like we did in standing, move your weight into one knee and your two arms to shift the weight out of it and then shift the knee out wider. So you bring your knee wide and then really bring your weight down into your knee. And then come back to where you began. And it can be a slide. Your foot and your lower leg can remain on the ground, not a big movement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And notice if you kind of have a momentum. There's a momentum to it. Yeah. And you'll know because you'll kind of go, and here we go up, and then you go down, and then you go up, and then you go down. So slow it down so much that you feel how. How do you lighten? What do you do? What do you do in the whole rest of you to make the lightening of your knee easy? How do you shift? Where do you round? Where do you arch if you arch? Aha, eyes, yes, and then take a rest in any way you want. And you don't have to wait for me to get there. Sometimes this one is really interesting, and then it's, oh, wow. Nice, that's a good option too. So the position to work in this way is tiring for a few reasons. One is we're just not used to it. We're not used to taking weight into the shoulder joints in this way. We're not exactly used to the position with the knees this way, at least not since we were really young. And our heads are below our hearts, and so it's like an inversion, and that offers its own challenges. So we're really experiencing both this very stable position where you have lots of support, and so it's a really good learning environment, but also lots of challenge. So it's might need more rest than you think. Make your way back to hands and knees, or hands and elbows and knees, something one of those. And this is something to know too. If your position on your forearms just is too exhausting, periodically you can switch to fists and knees or hands and knees. It'll be a little different, but you can kind of try it one way and try it the other. So feel free to vary and play. Yeah, you can play with it that way. Just as a different relationship, but it works really well. You just keep your thumb out of your fist. We're made, we're primates, so we have really nice, strong. Just keep your thumb just wherever it wants to go, but you can really walk around like that if you want. And yeah, from wherever you are, begin to try the other side. So try, and you'll have a different strategy. So see what the strategy is, okay? To lighten your left knee, there might be a little shifting of your hips one way. There could be a little bit of curling or side bending. There could be some breathing. And there might be a different way to try it each time. And you take your knee, lighten it, bring it out a little wider, and then bring your weight in to your knee. And then shift and come back. And it might be a millimeter, just lifting it only enough that you could slide, and not skipping, not being satisfied with going fast, with there might be a curl, there might be something that happens in your throat, in your sternum. There could be something soft in your feet, your ankles, and your calves. Okay, and then one time, before we're super, super exhausted, tense up and don't let anything move. So that means gather in your muscles, I will not move my shoulders, right? Nothing moves. And then see what you do. How would you lift your leg now? What would you do? Oh, I know, nobody's breathing either. Good. Yeah, feel that? Okay, now see what you can soften and see what's available for moving. Ah, that's different. Yep, and there's no cheating. So you could really shift a lot and then take a rest. If you rested in child's pose, rest on your back this time. If you rested on your back last time, do what you want. I'll offer it periodically. Not every time, but maybe every other time. You can track it. Yeah, to make sure it really rests, it's okay to maybe cross your arm, your forearms. Michael, you can rest your head on your forearms if you want also. though it doesn't seem worth it, a lot of times it's worth it, so next time you can come onto your back. Go ahead and make your way to knees and forearms. And we'll do something a little different. Remember, it's kind of playful, right? So that it doesn't need to be. It's always a little experiment that you get to play around with, and each time you get to strategize a little, and that means you get to try a different direction. So this time, imagine, maybe even think it through first, that you'll lighten your right elbow just enough to shift your right elbow out to the right, and then you bring your weight into your right elbow a little bit more. Like you're trying to press down into your mat and your blanket, and then you come back. So same idea, but now you're shifting your arm, which is a much different thing, and that will still be the rest of you responding in some way, helping you strategize. Maybe you shift your weight a little bit back and to the side, or maybe you curl, or maybe you side bend. And going in a pace and in a way that your breath can be a part of it. And how do you bring your weight into your elbow when you take it wide? Because that is its own thing, to bring a little compression into the joint, some feedback in a nice way. And what are you doing with your head? Can you let it hang even a little bit more? Yeah. Yeah. You might even drag your head on the ground. Who knows? Ready for a break?
Well, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yes.
Are we moving?
What are you doing?
I don't know. Are we moving this?
Yep. And then you're moving your right elbow out to the right. And your hand doesn't have to go necessarily, but it might. And then once you take your elbow to the right, you bring your weight into your right elbow. Yep, that's right.
Mm.
Yeah, so you feel the weight, and you're trying to kind of do it in a way that feels stable and strong, and then you come back just a little bit, just once.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be a ton of weight. Like about the amount that you have, and then you bring it back.
So you're just shifting it.
It's like you're pressing a piano key with your elbow. You press down, and then you come back, and you press the C, and then you go up, and you press the E, and then you go back, and you press the... Nice. Good. And maybe make it a little playful and fun and go a little faster. And it's a little dance. You're moving with your whole body. Okay, let it go. Rest on your back. And how are you resting into the ground now? What do you notice? Roll to your side, make your way to your really nice to your arms and knees. And before you find the second side of your elbow, find your setup and just remind yourself what it's like to do it on the right. So you've come to your forearms and your knees. And just remember what it's like, what your strategy is for moving your right elbow a little bit out. And then see how you do it on your left. How do you do it? What do you do? How do you shift your weight? And it's small. And you've got lots of options. Your spine can move in many directions to help you. Your weight can move back and forward. Yeah, nice. And so the left elbow can move out, weight a little, and then shift in. And just as we did with the knee, finding how you do the beginning of the weight shift, not skipping over that, and finding out how you weight your elbow into the earth, how you lift it again. And this time, bring your elbow even closer in if that's possible. So it's like you cross your starting point and bring your elbow in a little. This is more challenging, it's okay. And then you take it back out. Each time, every place you plant your elbow, you give a little weight and then you shift. In fact, you can shift it anywhere you want. So you could go a little in front and shift your weight in. You could take your elbow a little to the inside, make a little circle. Nice. And then when you feel satisfied, rest maybe here. Maybe you come up to sit for a moment, or maybe you rest on your side, or maybe you rest in child's pose. Yeah, give yourself a different position. And find your elbows and your knees again on the earth and see what it's like now. How's that position evolving for you? And sort out where the least amount of work for your head is, where you can still move. The idea is just that your head doesn't become a tripod, but you also don't want to spend a lot of effort holding your head up from the ground, because that's a lot of work. So letting your head be with as little work as possible. And then the idea, well, first, let's translate, take your hips a little bit to the right and left and just see what that's like. So notice how that goes. Yeah, even slower and even smaller. So you really feel the whole process. Where does your head go? So when your hips go to one side, does your head go to one side or the other? It can be a counterbalance, or you can go the same way. What happens in your upper ribs? Nice. Yeah. Yep. It's really interesting to ask the question, right? Well, I don't know, does my head? And you could try taking your hips to the right and let your head go to the left. So you could try doing that. And then the other side, so that you're taking your whole body and, yeah, nice. And then you could try the opposite, which would be if your hips go to the right, your head goes to the right. Yeah, and what's happening there. Nice. Ah, yeah, there's there's either you're weight shifting everything to the right, and that's one way, weight shifting everything, or you're side bending. And then the next time, bring both knees into the center line and keep going. Mm-hmm. It's like you gather your knees close together, feet close together, kind of like skiing, I suppose. And then see what it's like. Yeah, that was fun. Maybe wag.
Yeah, and see how does that change it? What do you do? Yeah, a lot of effort happening in the upper back. If you want to stand on your hands instead of your shoulders for a bit, you can. Yeah, in fact, everybody do that. So come onto your hands or your fists for a moment, and now see what that's like. Your head responds. And then pause in the middle. How are you doing? Want a break?
Yeah.
Okay, take a break. Rest in any way.
Skiing.
Maybe on your back this time.
Skiing is fun.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, skiing requires that very steady head. You're always watching and everything is rotating underneath. If you tried to do it any other way in skiing, you'd be on the ground really quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This whole chest needs to face down the mountain.
Well, he's saying that in skiing, you only rotate from maybe your belly button, kind of like there's a dividing line at your waist. And this is actually true for dancers. Like, most dancers sort of cut themselves in the middle, and everything above doesn't move, and everything below does. But there's also these distinctions that happen, that you can maintain your forward vision aligned with your sternum forward, and there's also a ton of movement that happens still in the spine and in your ribs in order to do it really, really well. And most dancers, particularly ballet dancers, do not have that ability.
Huh.
And so they end up injured a lot, or they have problems, you know, in very specific vertebrae that do way too much of the work. And they tend to have pretty severe issues. I speak of what I know. And then roll to your side and come onto your forearms and your knees. And in fact, in this orientation with your forearms down, you have to have your sternum kind of oriented down to the ground. So
mm-hmm.
just like in skiing, you would have to have your sternum down the hill. So this is a really good place to learn that, which I hadn't thought about. It's pretty good. Once you get there, we'll do something a little strange, which we would never do. And imagine, but you don't have to get there right away, but the idea is that you take your right knee a little bit. Well, let's start just by going a little bit back with your right knee and then finding a place on the ground, wading into your knee a little and then coming back. And then, yeah, so you're moving your right leg down, and down, of course, is towards your foot, in the direction of your foot. So you're sliding your knee away from your head and then bringing it back. Yeah. Down, and you press, and then you come back. And then the idea is that you would slide your knee away from your head and find a way to cross your right knee behind your left knee to the left of your left leg. This may sound impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through it again. So first off, one way to start getting there would be to take your right knee over to the left. So to the center a little bit more. Feel, and then rest it down. Yeah. Rest it down on the ground. Yeah. And then eventually you'd cross over, and some of you are getting there right away, and then uncross. Okay. Yeah. So that's right. And you're eventually aiming to get over here, but it doesn't have to happen. But that's the idea. Okay. Yeah. And now my question is, yeah, you can actually do it. It's actually possible. It's very strange, though. So what happens to make it possible? Yeah, you were doing it, Terry. So is it possible to do it without lifting your foot off the ground? That would be the next piece. So don't let your foot come off the ground. Don't do any extra straightening. Just as little as you need to do. So as little work as you need to do to snug your knee over to the other side, weight down just a little bit into it, and then come back. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It doesn't have to work. You're not a better person. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Nice. And then maybe pause in the middle and just a rounding and an unrounding. And then go as far as you can. So if that's both knees together with your right knee a little bit further away, that's fine. If it's cross over and stay there. Yeah, so you just kind of find the place. That can be right there is good too. And in this place, in a very small way, round and arch your spine. Really small, like a little cat-cow. And then begin to even make circles with your spine. So it's like there's a very, very tiny hula hoop. Very, very tiny. It's only about a millimeter bigger than you in all directions, and you're trying to find it. So you're circling. Does that make sense? It's very strange. It's like scraping the barrel in yoga class, if that helps, but it's really odd in this position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And are you still breathing? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Good. And then uncross and take a rest in any way that you want.
Oh, that's weird.
Yes, very weird.
It's like every week. I don't think I can get weird.
That one was my weird. I just want you to know. That's straight up.
You made that up.
I made that up. It was based on something, but I made it up. I feel very proud.
That's funny.
Like the twister lesson.
Wait, which part did you make up?
The movement part, not the position.
The whole moving the leg to the
outside.
Wait,
no, we had the leg over to the outside.
The spine.
And she had us doing something different, and I was like, you know, I need to do something else before then. And I started kind of messing around with it, and that was that. I'm very proud.
Ah.
So this lesson is half something and half. Yes. I know. It's very fun. But it's so fun. And then make your way to your forearms, but maybe even actually start with on your fists, because it'll give you slightly more room. And see what it's like. Play with moving your knee, your left knee around in different places. So just bring your left knee down the direction of your foot, so back on the ground, and then weight into it, and then maybe a little over to the right and weight into it. Just find a whole bunch of different places and play a little. So it can go forward, it could go in, it could even go in all kinds. It could go closer to your hands. And each place you go, you kind of press as though you were trying to, if you've ever been on your hands and knees in sand, and you can make these little depressions.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making a depression here and here, and when you're done, you'll have this whole map of every place your knee can go. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm going to try the other side. And then when you want to, you can try crossing over to the other side. Yeah. And how you do it this time would be your left knee crossing over, and this side might be easier, it could be more challenging. And what do you do with the rest of you?
Really
try it on your forearms, try it on your fist, find out whether it's easier in one way. And what do you do with your abdomen that makes it possible? Because this is something in your hips and something in your yeah, that was different, and you had to move way back, didn't you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when you're there, you could really press, and then you unpress, and you come back. Maybe your head could be involved. Maybe your throat and your armpits are involved. There's something going on everywhere. Yeah, and the next time you cross, pause for a moment and notice your shape and just feel. How do you do it? Yep, make yourself more comfortable while you're there, and then find a little bit of rounding and arching, and then play a little. You know, try some side, a little side to side, playing in a small way that allows you to enjoy and explore all the directions that you can bend And feel the relationship between your pelvis and your head here. What is the connection between your pelvis and your head? And it, the real challenge of it is, in order to be there, is to, you'll kind of need your weight in both. So if you want to, just have your knee here on the earth and then, and still have the same idea. Just, yeah, so you have an asymmetrical base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that works just as well. Nice. And then let it go and rest on your back this time. So, yeah.
Should your neck be a little sore?
It can be, it can get a little, we'll do something.
It's really tired.
Yeah. Well, it gets really tired. Yeah. I found that. It may feel better though when you stand. Stand your feet and bend your knees here in this position. And give yourself a hug, stacking one arm under, one arm over. So one hand goes for ribs, for armpit. The other hand goes for your shoulder or maybe your shoulder blades. You can hug as tightly as you wish. And this is just to give us a break, right? So, and from here, if you can find enough purchase under your feet, a really stable place for your feet to stand, go ahead and with your back resting down into the earth, lift your hips just a little into the air, and then come down. Yeah, so you're just moving the weight between your shoulder blades a little bit, and then coming down. Soft throat and neck. There's a relationship here between your hips and your head, too. Nice. And the next time you rise up, stay with your hips a little bit in the air. And in a really tiny, tiny, tiny fashion, it's like you're rocking yourself slightly, slightly. Rock yourself until your hips come down. Slowly, 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 slowly. Little rocking side to side. Yeah. Little rocking side to side. Uncross your arms and cross them the other way. So this time, inhale, fill your belly and let your tailbone come a little closer to the ground. So you're expanding your front, arching the back a little bit. And then in your exhale, you do the opposite. So tiny bit of, not a strong press. It's really more the, almost like your breath moves your pelvis. Your breath tilts your pelvis a little bit and then untilts. And then one slow time, press into your feet, lift your hips into the air, soft throat, let your head do what it does, feel how far you go, and then track each vertebra as you come down, each vertebra, this one, this one, this one, this one, until you come all the way down on the ground. And release your arms and rest them at your sides and lengthen your legs.
You want to do Feldenkrais too, I know.
We took the cat to the chiropractor because
This is Seattle.
Apparently when their atlas is out of place, it affects the blood supply to their frontal cortex. And so what happens in the cat, and just like in us, the frontal cortex is part of our decision making and knowing if we're safe. And so he was stuck in the sympathetic response. He was really edgy, really nervous, really anxious. And so the moment that it was back, he calmed right down.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And just like us, you know, if we're overstimulated and not able to,
yeah,
you know, overstressed, we get really sick. So he was having all kinds of little things going on. Yeah.
I know.
So he needs help in Christ. But he can't follow the directions. I'm sure he does this, though.
Now, find your way. Feel clearly how you are, though.
The settling down and how different it is from the beginning. How much more you're able to really yield down into the earth. And you might feel that places are more heavy or that there's more contact. Or you might just feel like you sink a little more. Like you're not floating anymore. And roll your head gently side to side. Just to see what it's like. And make your way in a gentle way to stand. And you'll come and stand on the hard earth. But go really slow. So find a transitionary place. Maybe you sit for a moment. Because we did so much of the lesson upside down. It's a really good idea to go very slow. Yeah. Yeah. Good. And then see what it's like. Feel how you press down into the earth, your contact through your front of your hips, through the hip joints, your sense of your spine, how your shoulders rest. And imagine that you're carrying a really big bucket, nice wide bucket full of water on your head, and it's heavy. But you have such a beautiful curve in your spine that you can just stand here and support that heavy bucket of water. It doesn't cause any more stress. It's just there. And then allow the bucket to stay there as you shift your weight a little bit right and a little bit left. You could start very small so that you really feel how you do it. Maybe you bend one knee and then you bend the other. That's part of it too, right? Maybe there's something that happens with your armpits if you need to take care of the cat. It's okay. Just okay. Walk with your bucket of water to the door and tell them you'll be okay. it's so interesting. It's like the only time he wants to be over here is when you guys are here. And then you can make it a little bigger. You can go for a walk. See what it's like to carry your bucket of water on your head. And let your arms do what they do, because there's a swing that could happen. Maybe there's twisting, maybe there's something else going on. Yeah, it's a really nice thing in a way to carry a bucket. The weight going down, if it's well balanced, gives you really good feedback. All right, I will stop this now.